Welcome back, cats and kittens, to Hey Kids Comics. We are at...
Groovy.
Groovy.
Hey!
We're at issue, what, 63, I think.
I believe we are. This is the third after 60.
The third after 60. It's divisible by nothing.
It's three score and three.
Three score, three... Is that what it is? Is a score 20?
Yes. I think it is.
Oh, man, I learned something tonight. That's
so imagine
awesome.
If your score was 20 to 20, then it would be like a score, score, score.
It would. So with me tonight,
as
always...
nothing to do with tonight's show.
No. With me tonight, as always, are two people that can definitely communicate to the topic of tonight's show. My regular, as always, life mate, and Cole and I are like penguins, we podcast for life. The Reverend Jedi Cole Houston joins us once again, 63 times again.
Good evening.
And his better half joins us tonight, host of What'd You Think? Lovely, lovely woman that she is. Catherine Houston joins us tonight. Say hello,
Yay,
Catherine.
What he said.
Yay, what I said. She's amazing. So I'm happy to have her here. I'm happy to have everybody here. Let's all join around and discuss deconstructing comics. What's love got to do? Got to do with it. That's my Tina Turner.
Thunderdome. Oh, wait, wrong.
All we want is but the yawn. Thunderdome. I think we broke the deal. We busted the deal. We have to face the wheel tonight.
Uh-oh.
That's so true.
I think so. Catherine runs Border Town.
Who runs Hey Kids Comics Town? Andrew runs.
That's right. So far we've discussed. Is this the fourth?
This is
already?
The fourth.
Ready?
We are wrapping this arc rather rapidly.
This is the one where we have to regain our we have to right our own ship here because the last.
We have to return to an air of professionality that was lacking.
Oh my gosh.
It's always the same.
It is. Every story arc we do is the same. We get going, we feel good, we find our stride in two. Number three, we have ourselves convinced that we're done with the story arc, and then we realize we have two more issues to do.
Yeah.
And
a Sherwood Schwartz or something, you know. Oh, here's a good bunch of people on an island.
That's right.
Kids up.
That's Mary Poppins is flying away, and everybody's in there. You're like, nope, third act. Damn it, third act. So tonight,
am I where we all go to IHOP to dry out?
No, that's next issue. When we look back at what we've done, and
that's next week.
It's a good.
We are seriously drying out next week.
Good.
Oh, good. Now that means I'm on the one where we're invincible and we've solved the problems of the world.
Yeah, and we go to rehab. We go to Gary Busey rehab in the next issue. So tonight we're talking about love. Marriage. We're talking about love in comic books. And so far we've talked about heroes and villains and the best friend. Tonight we discuss what drives people in comic books to fall in love. And
how does that work? How do you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a trysting lover or...
I
be a superhero.
You lie. Good night, folks. It's been a great show.
That's it. Well, this will be our shortest episode yet.
Right.
It'll be a while before we come up on that point now because we've...
That's right. This is the shortest four... This is the five-minute episode.
Well, does this have an outline or can I make a... Can I ask a question?
Oh, you can ask anything, yeah.
Okay. My question is frankly, I think there's two different... Of girlfriends... significant others, if we were being progressive. There's the gal who knew you before the aliens altered your body or fill in the blank.
Right.
And now you're having to show her the new you. And then there's the gal that met you after you were already super.
Well, then so, I think there's even yet another, the K-Pag.
Okay.
The what, Cole?
The K-Pag.
Okay. The K-Pag.
The K-Pag is the woman who just is enamored about anybody in tights. You know.
Okay.
She's a superhero groupie who just can't wait to get her some. It doesn't matter who.
Okay, so
she just wants to join the Mile High Club with a fly.
Exactly.
So we'll go down the Catherine's road here. Okay, so the first category. You met in high school.
Right.
You graduated with a PhD in gamma radiation. You turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And now you're the Hulk, and you've got to tell your girlfriend you're the Hulk, right?
Right. Right. How do you?
When her dad hates your alter ego.
Right. Well, he probably hated you before. This is a likely excuse, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the hardest thing for Banner was, for once, Betty didn't bring a lowlife home. But Ross was so accustomed. It's like, well, Daddy, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner, Nobel Prize winning physicist.
Right.
And lowlife, bunch of slackers.
Right. Can he disassemble a weapon blindfolded? I think not.
Here's the problem with General Thunderbolt Ross is here's why he's so angry is because the old sitting on the front porch with the shotgun trick doesn't work when you're dating the Hulk.
That's true.
That's why. No, but what? Okay, so.
And it's kind of hard to get the Iron Man and his Hulkbuster armor to sit on your lap.
So what I think this is the Beauty and the Beast syndrome, right?
Yeah.
You loved this person before.
Right.
You love him after, but how hard is it to do that? You know, there's a line.
It depends on how it changes him. Because okay, I'll give you a real life scenario. You get married young, and you're going to college, and you're in college, and one of the husband graduates, and he gets this high paying job. Does it change who he is and how he relates to the rest of the world? Is he the same person you married?
Right. Or
I think the corollary is a little more dangerous when, you know, the guy gets back, he graduates college, and then turns into an incredible green rage monster.
Well, no, there's a real life correlation for this, and I've known people that have gone through this. The correlation is this: you meet somebody in high school, you fall in love, you either get married young or you're just in love.
Right.
You 5, 6, 7 years later, the person that you're with decides they want to be a firefighter or a police officer.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're faced with a certain level of danger of them leaving the house.
Right.
And never coming back.
Exactly.
Every day.
Every day.
That's true, because if you're Betty Ross, you never know when the Hulk is going to get sent to a distant planet.
Or just turn into the Hulk and jump around in a mesa for 3 weeks and you don't know where he is. Hulk don't use cell phones, you know, and until he's not mad anymore.
Well, he can't use a cell phone because when his pants got so tight on his legs, it crushed the cell phone.
Right, right. But, I mean, you've got Pepper Potts with this, you know, and it's not the same because she met Tony after he was Iron Man.
Right.
But, you know, there's this idea that you can draw a real-life line between firefighters, military, police officers, anybody
what
with
about-
a-
FBI agents,
yeah.
People who come home and they can't even tell you how their day was.
Right, right.
Or worse yet, the superhero who's like the Secret Service agent who can't even really tell you that he's in the, you know, he's like in some, like a CIA or something.
Yeah.
And he goes and pretends like he's a corporate executive. Meanwhile, you think he's out in Reno on a business trip. And meanwhile, over in Bangladesh, he's putting a bullet in somebody's head.
Right. And
or fighting the Shocker.
But yeah, exactly. Like, how do you deal with the betrayal when you have to tell? Like when Peter has to tell Mary Jane, or when Batman has to tell everybody. how do you deal with that level of betrayal? Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you explain to them? I've been hiding this from you for this long.
Yeah, and you can't just sort of whisper under your breath, "I'm Batman."
No, but you can.
Know, that doesn't work.
I've done it. It totally works.
For one thing, what you have to do is just totally rip the Band-Aid off.
Right.
There's no easing into that. It's like, okay, I need to tell you something big time, and then you need to go think a whole lot and let me know what you decide.
Here's a plane ticket to Reno. I'm about to tell you something. I'll see you in 4 days.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And I think the partner's reaction is either going to be, by now, I can't handle this. Thanks for half of everything. Okay, you're doing that. What can I do? I want in. I want a piece of the action. I want to I want to fight crime myself. I want to do something. You got your gig. I want mine.
I agree with that to some extent. But there's the third person.
Yeah, and that's one that's not really been adequately explored, I don't think.
Well, I think it did, like with Pepper Potts, it did. She has her own suit now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she did eventually get her, like, girl armor.
Babs, Barbara Gordon, not that it's the same, but Barbara Gordon and the Dick Grayson situation, you know? And that's another thing that needs to be explored is what causes superheroes to fall in love with other superheroes? You know, it has to be more than just proximity, right?
I think there's kind of a high behind, you know, you go out there and it's sort of like, Starman, in that series that went on for years and turned out, oh, wait, guess what? It's a maxi-series.
Oh, you're not the movie? Not the movie with Jeff Bridges?
Not the movie with Jeff Bridges, no.
Oh.
This isn't Hey Kids, Jeff Bridges.
It should be. Why isn't it?
What were we thinking, spending 63 issues on comic books?
Right, when we could do 78 on Jeff Bridges.
Well, I think that happens to people all the time, though. I mean, the like workplace romances, especially with people in powerful positions. Mm-hmm. I think somebody in a powerful position who's gotten there over time, I think is often attracted to somebody else who has their own powerful position, because they've changed so much from when they were the ladder climber, and now they want an equal,
right? Some stability.
Well, yeah. And what I was getting at with Starman, the not Jeff Bridges version, was one of the things they kind of retconned in. I don't think this even came up in the retcon episode, but it was one of these where the retcon actually worked,
right?
And that was the revelation that the original Starman had an ongoing affair with the original Black Canary.
Okay.
Part of the storyline behind that made sense, and that, you know, how does this sort of relationship develop, is because they're both in this, you know, high pressure, high energy, high adrenaline line of work, if you will. And they're like literally coming down off this high together, and it's that sort of, like Catherine said, the kind of co-worker romance in a way.
And you've got,
granted, in this case, it was illicit, but
and you've got to have somebody that understands what you're going through,
right?
Exactly.
You know, which is why I think a lot of times that develops is when you're fighting Galactus, you're not gonna find somebody that understands what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't come home and be like, "Oh, what'd you do at the office today?" Oh, well, you know, we had this guy with this broken computer that we had. Okay, well, I fought Galactus. So, you know.
No, this guy was such an idiot with his computer. I mean, you'd think somebody would have a rudimentary, but I fought Galactus.
I mean, all he had to do was turn it off and on. I fought Galactus.
Do you think you could just turn Galactus on and off? I don't think so.
Well, also, it makes... for very tragic heroes. So many of these heroes are tragic anyway. But I mean, it is tragic when you have a long going relationship, and you end up changing so much, and it's not your partner's fault. They stuck by you through thick and thin. They've always been there. All of a sudden, you find yourself as a completely different person. And it's the whole circumstance is really kind of shitty, because unless that other person can elevate to a place where they're happy by themselves, that relationship's pretty doomed.
Right, right.
Yeah, it does take a very special woman or a very special man, a very special partner to be able to, I think it goes back to that whole police and firefighter thing where you may be gone away from the house for days or months. You may be off fighting the Kree-Skrull War.
Right.
Well, like military wives.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, like a deployment either to a theater of combat here on Earth, or
right,
you've gone with your buddies into intergalactic space to fight the
You know, you're
Thanos.
In the third dimension, so you can't exactly call.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have good... There's just no bars there at all.
No bars in the negative zone. No bars in the negative zone.
No bars in the negative zone. I like that.
Now, I seem to recall, and I cannot place reading something along these lines where somebody, you know, just the girlfriend or something like that just could not do this anymore. And I cannot remember where it was. I'm going to try to rack my brain for that one. Well, but it was one of those where, you know, I can't be a part of a world where you're going out and fighting, like, people throwing knives and guns and electricity.
Right, anything and everything. And yeah. Yeah.
No, I think absolutely. It also happens to doctors' spouses, too. I mean, you in early days, I mean, dang, you married a doctor. We'll never have to worry for money once you get established, and it'll be a good, secure home for kids, and we'll always, wherever you go, you'll always be a doctor. You can't be fired and not be a doctor.
Right. You're a doctor. And, once you're a doctor, you're a doctor.
Ultimately, the reality of someone who is a doctor sets in because they're putting in these incredibly long, almost abusive shifts. Your life, at least during the height of your career, is not your own, and it's kind of a real awakening. And I'd kind of like to see a comic like that where they didn't realize that this is what it was going to be like. Maybe that would be a great Green Lantern, really. It's something like, oh man, this is great. This is all I can do, and this is going to be great for both of us. And it's like, oh man.
Well, anything like that. That is such a brilliant idea for a comic book. You have this almost like a wives or a girlfriends or a husbands, whichever, support
right.
group, and you can follow that.
Absolutely, that yeah. Just kind of, what are all the pitfalls and how do you cope and who do you go to? You can't just go to anybody and say, well, geez, he's off beating up Doc Ock again.
Right, right, exactly. I'd call the comic Homefront.
Right, like, that's what you would have to have. Like, and this is why I think you see so many non-relationships in comic
right.
books. You see Doctor Strange with the night nurse. They're never actually together. I'm doubting they actually date. But there's one panel in every Doctor Strange comic book where she's crawling out of his bed. And you're like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just like friends with benefits when you get right down to it.
Right.
One of those no strings attached type of thing.
Right. That's the idea of this, is that you can't have a normal... It's very rare that you have a normal relationship.
Absolutely. And it takes a lot of tenacity and a lot of pluck to pull that off.
Well, also, superheroing, even if you overcome these obstacles and you're willing to be the one who stays home, lives the normal life while your spouse is out superheroing, it's not a paying gig. So you're going to have to take a day job if you're going to make the mortgage. And then money's actually going to be tight for a superhero. And then here comes the creature from God knows where. And they come to kidnap you because that's what they're going to do this week. And of course, they have to break down the back door. Do you know how expensive that's going to be to fix?
Right.
Well, it's going to wreck your renter's insurance for one.
Yes, thank you.
Not only that, but where are you going to find a guy who's going to fix your back door at 3 o'clock in the morning?
That's right.
Yeah, because the mole man doesn't know what time it is.
He doesn't know. He knows. He just doesn't care.
Oh, that's true.
But
and it, three in the one morning, phone call you get, you're going to have to call your mom so she can pick the kids up and take them to school.
Right. and the other big thing here is if you really want to get down to it, if you really want to look at where this part, where what we're talking about is really explored, and it comes up on the show all the time. Look at Identity Crisis,
Oh, absolutely. I think that's brings in all the best.
You've got this relationship. You're good. You're happy. There's an understanding. Even after you've survived the superhero experience, right?
Right.
You've made it through. Ralph and Sue Dibny make it through his superhero career.
And plus, she got to meet the Justice League, so how cool is that?
She got to hang out in the tower, and you make it through, you retire. You're a superhero, and you retire.
Right.
Once you're in, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your days.
Right.
Once you're in, there's no getting out. that's something that you have to consider. This isn't a, okay, well, you're going to have to do night rounds and your residency. And then once you're done with that, you can open your own practice and work your own hours. And no, this is once you are a superhero, all bets are off for the rest of your life.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And even if you retire and start your own detective agency, like I think that was Ralph Dibny's goal ultimately, because he really fancied himself more a detective than a stretching superhero.
Right.
And even when you do that, you never know when you're going to head out the office and you open the door and stand there on the front porch as Martian Manhunter, like the general from Rambo, coming to tell you, well, we're calling you back up to the big leagues. No, you're not.
Right.
It's date night.
There is no. That's the other thing, is there is no normalcy when you're a superhero. There's no level. There's no central ground for this thing. You know, you can't. Your ship's always rocking. You never know when you're going to be, especially if you have a secret identity. Oh
exactly.
My God. If you have a secret identity, you're going to be out to dinner or at the movies or wherever, and all of a sudden your secret Jimmy Olsen alarm watch goes off and you've got to go. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, imagine poor Clark. He finally gets to go out on a date with Lois, and all of a sudden, halfway across Metropolis, here's Jimmy getting tied up by the bad guys. He manages to get his hand close enough to his wrist, and all of a sudden, before dessert even arrives,
right.
And, and he's here drumming his fingers on the table and knocking big holes and splintering it.
And the thing is, Superman already knew.
Yeah.
Superman already knew that Jimmy was in trouble.
Yeah, he heard it.
Right, because he doesn't need, we discussed it last issue, he doesn't need that stupid watch.
He doesn't need the damn thing. It was just a conceit. It was just something to give Jimmy, to get him to shut up.
Right, like, oh, you're my buddy. All right. Yep. Here
well,
you
I
go.
Think the big mistake what? There, of course, was that it actually worked. How's Jimmy going to know? He's like, he'd test it.
Right. You can't have a dinner date with Lois when Jimmy's around. And God forbid that Jimmy knows the Superman is on a date with Lois. He'll do it just to do it.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy's jealous because he can't get a date.
Right. Especially with Superman. Poor Foggy Nelson.
I think he's more than a best friend. I think he might be a admirer. You know what I mean?
He might. He might be. There definitely some bromance happening there.
Yeah.
So true. But that, that brings up the whole point. There's really going to be ultimately your major camps when it comes to being the love interest of a superhero is you've got your coworkers, your fraternity. You have your civvies. You've got your civilians like your Lois Lanes, your Lana Langs, your Lucy Lanes, anybody that was a paramour of Superman. You got your Gwen Stacy's and your
Mary Jane.
You just hit the jackpot Tigers. And
right.
You got your people who are not superheroes. They don't intend to be superheroes. If they were bitten by a radioactive spider, they would still aspire to be a homemaker.
Right. They just want to be a reporter. That's all they want
to
be.
That's all. Yeah, I mean, if Lois Lane woke up and could, turn invisible or read your mind or whatever, she'd still be a reporter the next day.
That's right. She'd be
a mind-reading, invisible reporter. She'd be a more effective reporter.
Right.
But she would still remain a reporter because the last thing in the world she wants to do is go dress up in tights and get beaten up with the Justice League. So you have your civilians, so they've got it a lot tougher.
Right.
Because your insiders, your friends, your coworkers, the people, your colleagues in the field, they know what it's like. It's going to be a little different for them. Black Canary hooks up with Green Arrow. And, they're both street-level heroes. So they got a pretty good idea what's going on. Princess Coriander hooks up with Robin / Nightwing. A little more tenuous. He can't fly.
Right.
He's not an alien. And he's not a part of a royal family.
Just asking, though, and forgive my limited knowledge, but the only familiarity I have with superheroes who have actually managed to procreate is that is really not a good idea, because what Effie was Swamp Thing's kid, and
oh,
she
yeah,
was
that,
like,
well, that was
beyond,
bad news all around.
Beyond, just beyond powerful. You think a tantrum at Walmart's a pain in the ass? What was it? Was it Franklin? Who's the?
Franklin Richards. You've got what's his name? Who became known as Legion?
Yeah, from
Charles David Xavier.
Right.
Of all people, Charles Xavier should have given himself a telekinetic castration.
That's right.
Because anybody should have known better.
Well, here's my thing. Everybody wonders how the and this absolutely speaks to this episode. Everybody wonders, well, how is the X gene being spread? I'll tell you how. You take a bunch of horny ass mutants and you stick them in a school or on an island together. What do you expect to have sex? It's just an incestuous roundabout. It's
just like, yeah, the only question is who's the father, and chances are you'll never know because the father has some kind of power that prevents you from knowing that he's the father.
Right.
He's got invisible fertilizing power.
Professor X is just sitting there with Cerebro wondering why this dot's on top of this dot going up and down.
And you know, that could be any number of dots. Because
I think we broke Catherine. Finally.
Yeah, we did break Catherine.
Half hour, guys. Oh. Took a half hour.
You know, you've got within the X-Men, there's a lot of interbreeding there.
Oh, certainly.
Because, you know, you got high school sweethearts with Marvel Girl and Cyclops.
You do.
You've got, you know, and then once she's out of the picture, then White Queen comes along because, you know, everybody wants a nasty girl.
Right. Right, it's like a Janet Jackson of the mutant world. But you got like Iceman.
That's right,
and
Miss Frost. If you're nasty,
you got fun. That was good. You've got first Janet Jackson reference I think on this ever. You've got Rogue and either Iceman or Rogue and Gambit, depending on whether Jim Lee's involved or not. Stupid Jim Lee.
Because Rogue can, like, you know, effectively seal your power, I just see, like, Rogue and Iceman making love with She's As Cold As Ice playing in the background.
Oh,
you know, that's the film I would make.
Fuck it. Yeah, you got, that's the film I would make. But, like, okay, Cole.
All of a sudden, I've got this sort of Scorsese Tarantino vibe.
Do you have any current heroes that just, you know, fly about 10 feet above the ground in crowded places going, who wants a piece of this?
Oh, are you kidding? Here's
Star Fox.
Well, that's not his fault.
What's a brother to do? He's a god of love, but...
Tigra. How many times have we talked about...
Oh, dear Lord, yeah.
Tigra, just working her way through the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, she was the kitten with a whip, I'll tell you. Cause she, I mean, a few years, many, many years later, after the West Coast Avengers had long since been canceled, I think a lot of writers decided that all of a sudden, She-Hulk needed to catch up.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about that in a different show. Tigra was the other one who's just promiscuous.
Well, she was... extremely promiscuous, like almost insultingly promiscuous, you know, like.
But the thing about like it is, at least bothered to get a super IUD.
Well,
I don't know though, because whatever it was that made her into Tigra may have, you know, rendered her sterile.
But the special little thing, the Tigra amulet,
little amulet thing. But the thing about it is
it U shaped?
Oh, come on!
Oh, wow!
Just asking.
But, you know, Tigra is an interesting one because she wasn't out for love. She was just out for lust. And God knows there were no shortage of people willing to line up for the Tigra boat.
Right, right. That,
you know, just step right up. Free Tigra rides.
You don't have to be this tall, shoot a bow, be made out of ionization, or be Dr. Druid not to ride this ride.
Yes, even Dr. Druid was probably the only time Dr. Druid ever got play.
Hey, Dr. Druid was a straight pimp.
Okay, well, he probably had night nurse.
He was a burlap plaid Don Juan. That's what he was.
Well, I think Lois Lane, if we're talking about the definitive girlfriend, Lois Lane is doing it right. She's got her own career. She's definitely realizes that trying to have a family with him would kill her. So she's probably open to, you know, it's probably an open marriage.
I think Lois Lane had all long ago embraced the idea if she ever had a spouse, it would be a double income, no kids.
Yes.
And so she's got the best of both worlds, plus because she's got Clark, who also has an equally, I mean, they're like neck and neck as far as, you know, they're not even competing because they're like identical.
Well, she makes more, and she has the insurance, I'm here to tell you.
Here's the other side of that, right?
But the thing about it is, on top of all that, quietly, when she's out talking with the other girls about their husbands, mm-hmm. she's like, you know, yeah, whatever. I got Superman.
Yeah, but
here's
the thing, man. You don't have to worry about kids when your husband's bringing home a different cousin or nephew or whatever every 60 days that's going to live with you for 6 months. This is Raj L. He's going to be here for the next 6 months.
He's a foreign exchange student from the late planet of
Krypton. Is Raj L better than the chimp? Because we're not having the chimp again.
I think that Beppo finally, they had, that's the reason the Fortress of Solitude is where it is. Is solely to put Beppo as far away from.
Can you get that son of a bitch horse out of here? Because I'm about done with that thing. Cole, help me jog my memory on this, okay?
All right.
The Red Tornado's girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Because she had it a rough. Because when your husband gets mortally wounded and downloaded into an android body, and you still love him. I mean, that you want to talk about something. At least Hulk turned into Banner every once in a while.
That's like five steps above Scarlet Witch and Vision. People are like, well, you know, Vision and Scarlet Witch. Well, the problem is Scarlet Witch, number one, her dad's Magneto. Number two, she's a mutant. Number three, she used to be a villain. Now she's a hero. She's been an X-Man, an Avenger. She's been like almost everything. The level to which weird... I mean, for God's sake, she was raised by a cow woman. You know, weird has been a part of her life since before she was cognitive, you know, conscious of her surroundings. Who's going to marry an android with somebody who's already pretty effed up?
That's true. That's true.
But when you're married to a human being and when, honey, I'm home and I'm an android.
Right.
That's okay. Because it's you. It's you I love. Not whether or not you're synthetic.
And I think that that's the core to this is, you know, and it's pretty obvious, but I think...
And if this was the USG, that would be the title of this show, by the way.
What's
it's
that?
It's You I Love, it's not that you're synthetic.
I thought it was There's No Bars in the Third...
In the negative zone.
Yes.
I think that that's... It's pretty obvious, and it's right in your face, but I think, you know, we've dissected all of these other things, and we've talked about codependence and duty and honor and but I think in order to
and hummus,
I think in order to be with a superhero or a supervillain, even, I think that you absolutely, there's no wishy-washy BS. You have to be in love with that person. There's
right.
no, you don't see a lot of, well, you know, I don't know how I feel. You know, I've been with him for a while, and maybe things didn't work out. Maybe things are working out. We're going to therapy. No,
yeah.
you stand behind your wife or your husband, 100%. I don't think we see a lot. Look no further than Alicia Masters if you want.
I was going to go to Alicia
proof
Masters
of this. Oh, honey, I'm the ever loving Ben Grimm. Okay, well, I'm blind, so I can't see you. Let me feel your face. Well, there's that. But
I can say she's blind, but at least she's not numb.
Right.
She does still have sensation in her fingers. So you know, it's like, oh, I'm Ben Grimm. Why don't we make out? And she's like, okay, are you here by this brick wall?
Right, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Marco,
I keep coming across this like someone's made a structure out of like Acme brick.
It's just right.
There's some sort of Adobe man here. Is this like a carnival or something? Are we in a museum?
Is that a doorstop? Or are you happy to see me?
Right. Whoa, wow.
The only
superhero secret.
It's the only the only person I can think of that might be a little wishy-washy on that is the love triangle that exists between Namor, Mr. Fantastic, and the Invisible Woman.
Oh, when you get into Invisible Woman and Mr. Fantastic and Plus, it becomes this trapezoid after a while. Because wasn't Silver Surfer enamored of her? And
yeah.
There were always just some paramour just vying for her. And I don't know what it was, because especially back in the Lee and Kirby days, she was kind of plain.
Right, but you're dealing...
Imperious Rex, man. You can have any woman in the world. you're like a Greek god. He's like a sculpture. And he's got wings on his ankles and Mr. Spock ears.
But here's the thing.
What girl wouldn't want that? And he's going after Sally Plain over here?
But here's the other side to this, right? Is when a superhero goes after a norm, you know, not vice versa. When a superhero goes after a norm, because there's a superhero, you know, we're just talking about superheroes, but there's a superhero complex. When you spend your life saving people, when somebody needs saved, you feel obligated to do so. So you've got Sue Storm, who is just regularly mistreated. You know, just pretty much mistreated through the entire decade of the 60s is mistreated. You've got all these good guys coming out of the work trying to save her from her douchebag husband.
I never really thought about that both Silver Surfer and Namor, the Submariner, was an empath.
Right.
He could tell at a glance, like, you poor woman.
Exactly.
You know how I would worship you, how you would be a goddess. You would be the queen of Atlantis.
Sold.
Yeah, and she was just too, I think she was just too, she was raised too proper. She married this man for better or worse. And
she loves Reed. She always loved Reed. So these guys would come out of the woodwork, and she loved Reed Richards. It was love.
I think also it was partially this empathy for her that he's a douchebag.
Right.
She deserves better than him.
Even in that awful 90s costume she had, she deserved better than him.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is that she's a challenge. She's like this, you know, these guys are gigolos, especially Namor.
Oh, God.
And
Namor,
you know,
bangs fish people, for God's sakes.
Yeah. He's had white women, blue women. Hey, where are all the blue women at?
Where are all the blue women at? Damn it, Cole. Damn it.
Andrew and I are now proven we are a married couple.
You beat me to it. You got me by like 30 milliseconds. I was all over that. Damn.
Number two almost got it. You know,
for the first time ever, I mean, this is literally Sue Storm. He goes back to Atlantis and says, she's the one that got away.
Right.
Oh, well, I also have a suggestion as to why they like the plain gal is their divas. I mean, if you date a superhero female, odds are that she has a skin tight outfit, low cut shirt, and incredible tatas. And so you go anywhere with that. And it doesn't matter if you're king of Atlantis. It doesn't matter if, you know, people aren't even looking at you. You're what she's hanging on to so she can stand in those heels. That's what you are.
That's true.
These guys have egos. At least she appreciates the fact that you're a bronze god. Because, you know, Wonder Woman's like, yeah, I'll go ahead and go out with you because, you know.
Well, Wonder Woman.
Just stay home and wash my hair.
Right.
That's right.
It's like she doesn't care. It's not that important to her. But then again, Wonder Woman's a good choice, though, because this is the opposite side of going after the plain one.
Uh-huh.
As you know, Wonder Woman's like a demigoddess, but she was raised in a convent, as it were.
Exactly.
You know, she's been living on the all-girl island. Lucky for her, it was Steve Trevor was the first man she saw.
Right.
Tubby McMahon tits. Could have been the one piloting that
okay,
plane.
Okay, speaking of Tubby McMahon tits, can we talk? We're up against the 15-minute mark, as usual. Can we?
I think every time we get to that point, Tubby McMahon tits shows up.
Can we talk about Cape Hags for a while? Because I really want to spend about 8 to 10 minutes on Cape Hags before we're done.
Go for it, mile high with anybody that flies. Go for it.
So, I think that super whores and Cape Hags. I think that you have a perfect example in Johnny Storm Human Torch, Johnny Human Torch over here. Like that's pretty solid, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't until he kind of settled down a bit and got himself a proper girlfriend with what's her name, who then became a Herald of Galactus.
Yeah, God, he can't catch a break, can he?
No, I know. He's like finally he's settling down. He's found a normal woman. He is enjoying being the superhero with the plain girlfriend. He'd heard tell of this. You can have this sort of thing. It's actually something people do.
Right.
Who have superpowers. And then all of a sudden, Galactus hoves in town. Yeah, I'm kind of, you guys kind of beat Terax into a pile of gravel. So,
So let me tell you what,
I won't eat Earth in exchange for how about a replacement Herald?
I'll take her.
Yeah, I know. I'll take Johnny's girlfriend.
He hasn't been through enough yet.
Yeah, and then
he
she
never felt
off worse. Like, yeah, okay.
See, here's the thing, right? I really think that with Johnny Storm is he was so he came off as the player. I think there was a lot of insecurity there. I think that he really felt that he didn't deserve a normal relationship. You know, he was as much a monster as Ben Grimm is, just on the inside, not on the outside. He felt like a freak.
That's a good point there.
Felt like a freak. Felt like he'd always have to be in space. Didn't deserve a normal life. He was going to live in this tower.
Also, I think that in turn he throws all of that out at the world. I'm the player. I'm the bad guy. I'm
right. That's his armor. More so than
and
this.
Of course,
go ahead.
All of his each ex-girlfriend, goes to the bar and commiserates with all the other gals, and of course, they all hear the same thing. You know, you play with fire, you're gonna get burned.
Oh yeah. No, but that's more his armor than the fire is, he puts on this air, drives his motorcycles, does stunt shows, whatever. But finally, he finds somebody that accepts him for who he is and not for Johnny Human Torch.
Yeah, she's like Mr. Furious's girlfriend, just Johnny.
Right.
Except that he doesn't have a nervous breakdown and lose his powers.
But and then Galactus shows up like Galactus does.
See, this proves the point that you brought up a great Cape Hag, because at the end of the day, she's accepting for who he is, but really deep down, she's a Cape Hag, and she proves it when Galactus shows up because she trades way up.
Oh, yeah.
Does she have a choice?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, you think Namor brings in the ladies.
That's
Galactus
true.
Shows up in that purple pimp suit of his.
That's true. That's true.
With his like Tesla coil helmet going on.
That's really
I eat planets and I'm feeling snackish.
Wow. That's the first and only Galactus pickup line I've ever
Galactus pickup lines.
I had no idea.
You want to talk about somebody who had it rough, by the way. This is it, okay? We're gonna come down. We're coming down with this.
Okay.
Somebody who's not a Cape Hag, but somebody who had it rough. And I don't remember her name, so I'm an asshole. What was Captain America's girlfriend's name? Not Sharon Carter, but from World War II.
I don't remember.
Betty Brant? No. Captain America's girlfriend.
Okay.
I'm Captain America. I'm World War II. And all of a sudden I'm frozen, and now you're an old woman, and I come back to the nursing home, looking exactly the same. Good God, for both sides, can you imagine just the pain there? Like, you were in love with woman. She moved on.
I'm sorry. I don't care how much Steve Rogers loved her back in the day. What could be more cruel than to show up 40-something years later looking exactly the same as you looked the last time you guys went on a date?
Mm-hmm.
And she's old and decrepit. She's lived her life. She's gone on. To her, he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And, you know, if he showed up and turned out, guess what? I'm alive. And he was nearly 100 as well. Different story.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's just mean. I'm still alive. Great. But I can also have any woman I want because I still look like a god, you know, and I'm kind of young and I'm probably never going to age, you know. Oh, yeah. what's that smell? You know,
but that's the tragedy. That's the Grecian tragedy of this, is that when he came back, he didn't want anyone else. He wanted her.
Yeah.
And it was 50 years later. You know what I mean? It was 40 years later. She had moved on. She found love and had a kid. And all of a sudden, through the cruelty of fate, he can't have that. He can't have that with her. And
oh, absolutely. And then on top of that, it's like a January next April romance, April the next year romance.
Right.
And that's something, actually, if we could talk about it, if we've got still have a little bit of time left.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time.
Is when these stories always pick up when the girlfriend or the boyfriend are in their 20s or 30s, but what happens when the girlfriend or boyfriend are in their 50s, when you're dating somebody who lives outside the normal state of aging?
Right.
I mean, it's not so much all one day you're 20 and the next day you're 80. What about when you're 55 and you still have a lot of life left to live, but you're not a young person anymore? And how does that affect your relationship? What do you think about that?
Well, that's the thing, is that's what love has to do with it. If you want to talk about what love's got to do with it, you've got to be so in love. And it's like the old vampire adage, you know what I mean? Like immortality, picture of Dorian Gray. You get your biggest curse is watching the people you love grow old and die. And that's horrible. That's awful.
Was it Betsy Ross?
Yes. Betsy Ross.
Which sounds ironic to say that.
I don't know if it was Betsy.
Betty Ross.
Betty Ross. It was Betty Ross. Yes. But that is the cruelty of love in comic books, is there's always going to be, you're going to watch your spouse grow old and die if you're Wolverine. You're going to, or Captain America, or any...
Or Superman. In fact, the Golden Age Superman had to literally live through that. And that was also explored with some of the Golden Age characters who went to the Ragnarok and then is subsequently aged much slower than their counterparts. So, like, the original Sandman got old and decrepit, and the original Green Lantern and Starman didn't.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But
the original Flash stopped.
I think they touched on it in Watchmen, too, didn't they, with Manhattan's...
Yes, very good point. His original girlfriend.
Catherine, come on. I was trying my best to stay away from this tonight.
I'm restricted, but Catherine. Guests can talk about Watchmen. That's why we had her on here.
You set that up, didn't you?
She's my
ringer. All right, 53 minutes in, you say the word Watchmen, and then I'm going to get a Namor boner, and I'm going to start running my mouth about Dr. Manhattan's giant blue wieners all over the place.
Okay,
I'm kidding, Cole. You can talk about Watchmen all you want.
I'm going to give you the ultimate K-Pag.
Okay.
Because she actually works within, she's sort of a semi-colleague.
Okay.
But she is such a K-Pag at the same time as Catwoman. I think that Selena Kyle probably was an accomplished safecracker and jewel thief, all of that. Then she sees Batman running around. All of a sudden, she puts on the cat suit because she wants a little bat action.
I have been a bad kitty.
Or Black Cat.
Spider-Man
side. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I was doing this already. I've got plenty of cash laying around. I may as well buy a leather outfit and go with lots of fur, because that's important when you're, like, you know, trying to break into places, to have a bunch of fur that can snag on things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of fur liming on your black cat suit.
So yeah, I think you're right.
I haven't left enough DNA behind. I think I'll lick this.
I'm just going to sneak into the Batcave and lick the Bat computer, the actual thing that reads DNA. All right.
Selena!
I think we've done the topic of love plenty of justice tonight. I think it was pretty smack in your face, the motivations behind it, but I think we did it justice. I think we covered our bases.
And I think that we definitely explored the fact that, for the most part, love is really the foundation if you're going to make it work.
Much like the Beatles, when you're a superhero, love is all you need.
That's right.
Love is all
That's
you
right.
need.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. I understand that Catherine probably has some plugs that she wants to throw out there, since we don't have to do it. We don't have to do it for her tonight. She's here to do it herself. So, Catherine, would you care to plug anything?
I have a wonderful new show on the Jedi Cole universe called What'd You Think? And it is myself and the phenomenal self-deprecating yet wonderful Bobby Blakey is my co-host. And we have a different guest every week. And we review shows. It's the movie review that's on the drive home after the movie. And it's full of spoilers and random opinions and the occasional lame joke. Check us out.
Well, it's Bobby.
Yeah, right. Bobby's... It's an awesome show. I've been lucky enough to be on it once. It was great. I loved it. You guys are awesome. And listen
Thank
to
you.
It. Listen to it over at JediCole.com, which is the home of this show. Chances are you found it there. But go back and listen to everything that's on there, including Cole's. Do you have anything to add to this, Cole?
We actually have, when this airs, if I am not just completely off base, we will either be the Friday after this airs or the following Friday. I'm trying to get my chronology down here. And maybe the following Friday, there'll be a brand new revamp of a pre-existing show. So I'm going to go ahead and spill the beans here. I've been kind of teasing it a little bit here and there, but the shrewd among you have already figured this out. The Rancor Pit is coming back, but it's not your father's Rancor Pit. If your father listened to the Rancor Pit last year and you were just born. Because the last one aired about a year ago. What we've done with the Rancor Pit is take it away from just being me doing a Star Wars rant, because that got a little tiresome after two episodes. And a year later,
no.
myself and the multi-talented Eddie Medina are making this into a Star Wars talk program that is a blatant ripoff of Hey Kids Comics.
in so much as
the format and style. It's
so it might as well be called Hey
Eddie
Kids
and,
Star Wars.
Yeah, that was the original working title, was Hey Kids Star Wars. And then I realized that was actually the title of an episode of Hey Kids Comics, and my legal team said it's really awkward to sue yourself.
Right, I don't think that you'll sue yourself, but if you do, you can't win and or lose. So
That's right. You're
not really getting anything out of it.
It's actually a win-lose situation, as it was described to me. Definitely check out, if you're keen, do you like the Star Wars? Check out the Rancor Pit. It's a whole lot of fun. The first episode a long time ago will air very soon. As you will find out on the episode, I think I definitely made the right choice with co-host.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about the Jedi Cole universe is, if you've ever heard anybody on a show and you liked them, don't worry. Eventually one of us is going to suck them into something and you'll hear them
exactly.
all the time.
You know, poor Bobby, like, hey, you want to be on an episode of a show? Oh, yeah, sure. And the next thing you know, he's co-hosting every couple of weeks. And Eddie's the same. Kind of got caught in the trap. Of course, you know, Andrew got caught in the USG trap years ago.
I did. It was really a honeypot trap. they brought me in.
Well, how could you resist two hulking man children?
And speaking of Bobby Blakey,
Third hulking manta.
Speaking of the unmountable Bobby Blakey, which is still my favorite adjective I've ever used for a co-host or a guest host on this show. What happens every weekend, Cole?
Every weekend, every Sunday, right here on the JCU.
Sunday.
Every Sunday, Sunday Funnies, JCU Sunday Funnies, now with more funnies. In addition to You Are Here, which has been running for a staggering 20-some-odd weeks by now, 26,
which is pretty amazing.
27, 28 weeks by the time this airs, we, at week 26, introduced Open Season, which so far has been just Bobby's artwork because we just can't stop him cartooning. Cartoons that were written by either Bobby or Catherine or others. Good friend, our friend from our last episode, Frank Anderson Jr., will be having some cartoons as part of that series soon. So you'll actually get two cartoons a week now for as long as we have some open season cartoons.
Right.
And I want to give a big shout out to
you. And some reruns of the Lockhorns. Where he comes home drunk and they fight.
Apparently there were some old Lockhorns and Andy Caps that were now had lapsed into public domain, so I'm snatching those up.
It's the Funky Winker Beans where he's addicted to heroin that I really like.
What's funny is that to me always just seemed like a rehash of the Beatles.
That's true. Yeah, line. The ones where he was chasing the white dragon. Yeah.
And
the
Sarge,
opium den.
Sarge was just completely clueless.
Oh. And Snuffy Smith showed up and.
Right.
Oh, was that a dream?
It's like Garfield. It's like Garfield without Garfield, but it's like Beetle Bailey with heroin.
Right. Well, the Snuffy Smith was actually just a hallucination.
All right, guys. So let's wrap her up. We've done it justice.
Justice.
I think to go back
the
to what we were
love.
Talking about. You know, Elvis said it best. You're caught in a trap. Cole's a cult leader. Catherine's got a great show. Because superheroes love you too much, baby. Those are the lyrics to the song. Next week, we cover Family of Superheroes. It's going to be a really good one. There's going to be a dry eye in the house when we're done. So stay
tuned
for that.
It's going to be a very special episode of Hey Kids Comics.
It really is.
Oh, are we going to learn something about ourselves?
Huh?
We're going to learn something about ourselves. We're going to grow. Oh. We're going to grow as people. All right.
We'll have the whole fam-damily.
So get out there, everybody. Buy, collect, and enjoy comics. There's a lot of great actual love stories out there that you can follow and read. So please do so. Until next week, I'm Andrew Farmer.
I'm K-Pag Cole.
I'm Mrs. K-Pag Cole.
And stay tuned next week. It's going to be a hell of a ride. Thank you, guys.